Okay, well, so I hope all is good. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Chaf Vav, and we're here at the bottom of Chaf Hey Amud Beis, continuing and finishing up the discussion about Kiddush HaChodesh, and then we will shift and pivot to a different Rosh Hashanah topic that you're probably expecting to talk about before the last quarter of the Masechta. So we're at the two dots over here. We had said yesterday, but we could just read it together. Right? We have two dots about six or seven or eight lines up. Rahu Beis Din. Yamdu Shnayim ve'idu b'fneim. Right, the Mishnah had said that if Beis Din sees the new moon, so then two of them, right, have to kind of go around set up as the Edim. The Gemara says, "Amai lo teishmir gadol me'ri'ya." Why in the world, right, would the two of the three people who saw the new moon have to testify in front of someone else? Right, they all saw the moon. Right, why can't they just be like, okay, this is how we're poskening? So Gemara says, "Gigon shero b'alayla." No, the case is where they saw it at night. Right, and then the next day, and then they have to provide testimony of what happened the night before. So then, in that case, right, obviously that again, what Rashi is explaining here is that the Beis Din cannot be mekadesh the moon, on their own if they didn't see it right away. Meaning, if they saw it the night before, if you're testifying about something that happened in the past, so then you need testimony. Obviously, if they're looking at the moon at that moment and they're able to be mekadesh the chodesh, so that's great. But if they see it at night, so they can't be mekadesh the chodesh. So then the next morning, they already have to give testimony about something that happened already. That you need proper edus that you can't just decide on your own. Okay. So Ra'u Shlosha Vein Beis Din Yamdu Shnayim VeYoshivu Mechavrim Eitz Alayachet. So also now if three people saw it and they were the Beis Din, so Yamdu Shnayim VeYoshivu Mechavrim Eitz Alayachet. Right, the two of them should get up and they should bring a friend, right, and bring two more people and set up a transitive Beis Din like that. Meaning bring two people who are not necessarily on the Beis Din. Gemara asks again, Amai Hachanami Neim Alot Teishmir Gedolam Eiriya. Also, why don't we say that? Seeing the new moon is better than hearing. Why in the world do you have to set up a system where these people who saw the moon, who are Beis Din, why do they have to testify in front of a different Beis Din? And if you tell me that here also is why, is a scenario where they saw it at night, right? So then that's the exact same thing we just said a minute ago, which is why I read, right, the previous lines of Gemara in the Mishnah. Right, that's exactly the same case. So Gemara says, you're right. Seifa et tzuchale. Right, no, what are we learning from the Seifa? Deina yachin neman al yedei atzmo. No, that the one person is not believed to judge a case of Kiddush HaChodesh on his own. It's not without the Kamina. You might have thought, hold on, I guess it changes it too. Where is that? What is that? I can never find it on my daf over here. All right, Hoel. Yeah, hold the Tanya. Since we learned in the Raisa that dinim amonos b'shlosha, right, that monetary cases can be judged by three people. And here's the kicker: but if a guy is a master of monetary law, of hilchos mamonos, dinim amonos, then he can judge on his own. So you might have thought that so too over here by the case of Kiddush HaChodesh. You also, a person is also able to set Mekudesh, to set the new month on his own. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore it teaches me that, no, you do need a full Beis Din. I have a Me'achanami, so why not? Why can't a one person do that? So Gemara says, in the Chamukha L'Rabim B'Yisrael, most Yoser Mimosher Rabbeinu. So Gemara says, because we have a precedent in the Chumash. There was no one who was a Mumcha, no one who was an expert in Torah law, more than Moshe, right? But commonly, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu sets him in the pasuk, right? Adik Aaron Ba'adach. That no, you need to have Aaron with him to testify, right? The Thiv, as the pasuk says, "Vayomer Shem Moshe Vel Aaron Be'eretz Mitzrayim Anymore." Hakadosh Zelachem, right? So Hakadosh Zelachem, meaning that the two of you, right? That's how you set up, right? The new moon by two Edom coming and testify, right? Moshe, you can't be by yourself. Okay. And again, just the assumption is over here, right? Again, they're not talking. That's not talking about the Eidus. That's saying about a Beis Din, right? We're trying to learn that you need to have a Beis Din. So once Hashem says that Moshe and Aaron together have to decide the new moon, well, there's a concept in Sanhedrin called Eidin Beis Din Shakul. You can't have a Beis Din that's made out of two people. So by definition, it must be talking about a Beis Din of three people. Okay, weiter. Now the Gemara just points out the main road, the Eid Nasadayin. This seems to imply that an aid, a witness, can be a judge. As a discussion in terms of whether a witness to the act, to whatever we're trying to deal with, can be one of the judges in the case. So if you're telling me that if a Beis Din of three people saw the new moon, so two people detach themselves in the Beis Din, testify, and you bring two more people in front of the three people, then they testify and then they set up the new moon, well, one of the judges was one of the Edim. So apparently you see that someone who witnessed the action can also be a judge in the case. So the problem is, that's against Rabbi Akiva. Lema masisa lo Rabbi Akiva. That seems to be against Rabbi Akiva's shita. The Tanya l'kulam de Nebraisa. Sanhedrin shiro eka jahari v'sanhevesh. If a Sanhedrin saw, witnessed the murder, so miktsasa nasim edim, miktsasa nasim dayanim, some of them become witnesses, some of them become judges, divrei Rabbi Tarfon, right? You can split it, right, and judge the case that way. Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, kula nasim edim, no, everybody is a witness to this case, to the murder, vein ein nasim dayan, an aid, a witness, cannot be a judge in the same case. Skumar says, you're right, if you'll tell me Rabbi Akiva, no, actually, really over here in our case of Kiddush HaChodesh, Rabbi Akiva agrees that aid nasedayin, that a witness can be a judge, because that kind of comment Rabbi Akiva awesome, because Rabbi Akiva only says that by dinei nefashos, by capital cases, ela b'dinei nefashos, derachman amar, because the Torah says, v'shavtu aida v'yatzilu aida, that the aida, the group, the Beis Din, judges v'yatzilu, and they have to save, meaning, we'll learn in Sanhedrin in a couple of years, I think, that that basically, Beis Din has to go out of their way to save a murderer. We have to, for whatever reason, we have to find a tzad lahakel. Right? We don't want to be executing people en masse. Right? We want to find some sort of heter and loophole to get them out of it. So, obviously, if it's known that he committed a murder and he's deserving of the death penalty, fine. But there's a mitzvah for the judges to do whatever they can to get this guy off. Well, once the judges have seen the guy murder, so there's no way, right, they're going to be able to come to some sort of schus. They're not going to be able to be malamed schus. They're not going to be able to, you know, come to be down the kav schus to this guy because they saw it. So that's why in aid nasidayin, that a witness cannot be a judge by case of capital cases. But avalacha, but over here, I feel like Rabbi Kiva Moda, even Rabbi Kiva would agree that a judge, a witness can be a judge, and obviously, and vice versa. Okay, now, the Mishnah here now pivots to talk about Hilchos Shofar, and that is, frankly, most of, by and large, the rest of the Perek, which kind of gives you the impression that the breakup that we have, that the Perek probably should have started here. Right? The last Mishnah, the last Gemara, goes back to the discussion we were having in the second Perek. Right now, we kind of break completely and start talking about Shofar. Okay, fine, I'm not sure, I didn't see anything inside about why they break it up like that, but basically for the rest of the parak, we're going to talk about Hilchos Shofar. Alright, so says the Mishnah, Kol Shofar is Ksherim Chutz Mishal Parah. Every horn is good, except for a cow's horn, Karen, because it is called a Karen. As we'll see, we need something called a Shofar and not a Karen. Again, both of them technically mean horn, but we need a Shofar, not a Karen. I'm Rabbi Yossi, but look, Kol Shofar is Nikur Karen. He said, Rabbi Yossi, what are you talking about? All Shofars are called a Karen. Shemar, as the Pasuk says, Pimshoch Karen Ayovel. Right, when you take the Karen of the Yovel, a Yovel, as we'll see, is a ram, and the Pashtus of the Pasuk is, what's it called? That we're talking about, that pasuk is by Yovel, I believe. Where is that pasuk? B'mshoch Yovel Heme Alu Bahar. Is that the pasuk we're talking about? Oh no, it's a pasuk in Yeshua. V'ayav B'mshoch Keren Hayovel Kishamachem Es Kol Hashofar Yariu Kol Am Tzrua Gedola V'nafla Choma Sa'ir Tachteh. Oh, okay, talking about Yericho. Okay, my bad. But either way, so Rabbi Yossi says that a Karen is called a shofar, and so therefore he has no problem with the horn of a cow. Okay. The Gemara says, Shofar Kamei Rabbi Yossi. Shofar Kamei Rabbi Yossi. Gemara says, that's pretty good. That's a good point. Rabbi Yossi brought a pasuk that seems to imply that a shofar is called a Karen. So Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan do with that? So So what do the Rabbanan hold? Kol shofaros ikru shofar ve'ikru keren. That, yeah, you're right. All shofars are called both, but keren de para, keren ikri, shofar lo ikri. But a cow's horn is only called, I guess a cow's horn is from a bull, right? Or an ox or whatever. An ox's horn is only called a keren, but not called a shofar. The chitzik pasuk says, b'chor sharo hadar lo, v'karnei re'im karnav. Right, karnei re'im karnav. Talking about the ox, that it's carne re'im karnav, it's horns. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yossi says, Amar Lecha, meaning what would Rabbi Yossi do with this pasuk? Amar Lecha, the part of Nami Agri Shofar, he says, no, if I have a pasuk that talks about a cow, and it calls it a shofar, the chtiv, as the pasuk says, v'seitiv l'ashem mishor par, right, and the Kosh Baruch Hu is saying that it should be better meaning David HaMelech is in Tehillim is saying that he's going to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it should be better to Hashem than Shor Par. It should be more tativ, it should be gooder. It should be more rutsui, more accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning his tefillos and his songs, than a Shor Par. When the Gemara says, Im Shor Lama Par, well, isn't that the same thing? So what do you have to say both? Vim Par Lama Shor. So Ella, rather, my Shor Par, what does that mean? Mi Shofar. Right? That he's talking about a Shofar. Right? That David's saying that his songs and whatever he's doing should be better than the Shofar that is blown to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. For Rabbanan, I, whether Rabbanan understand that Pasuk, meaning that seems to imply that the cow's horn is called a shofar. So no, Kiddur Rav Masna, they learn like Rav Masna. Dam Rav Masna, my short par, what does that mean? Shu godol kepar. That no, that it's big. I mean, it's talking about a short par, that a big, massive korban. Right? And again, Rashi over here explains, they were talking about the original korban, that Adam Arishon shechted a korban to Hashem. This is not in the pasuk. The first korban brought in the Chumash is recorded in Kain and Hevel. But the Gemara explains that the David HaMelech, right, that Adam Arishon shechted a par. The Gemara is in, I don't see, where's Rashi? Where's he quoting it? Okay, I don't remember. I don't see the Rashi right now. But basically, Rashi explains that Adam Arishon shechted this shor, this par. It was just as big, meaning, and that was a big one. That was a fully grown. And so David Melech wanted his tefillos and his songs to be also ratzoi and accepted as a Kosh Baruch Hu, just like the first korban ever brought. Okay. Ula says, no, had a time with the Rabbanan. No. This is the reason for the Rabbanan. Kedir Rav Chista. The reason they only allow a ram's horn and not a cow's horn is like Rav Chista. Dama Rav Chista. Mepnei ma ein a kohen gadol nechnas b'big dezo v'fnaim v'fnim. Lavoda Avuda, pretty well known question. Why does the Kohen Gadol change out of his gold begotten to do the Avoda inside the Beis Hamikdash, right? If you remember from Mesechus Yuma, right, with the Ketores, etc. Why does he do that in the Big Day Lavan, not the Big Day Zav? Pavisha Ein Kateger, Nasa Senegar. Because we don't want the defense attorney to be. The accusing, meaning the accuser, i.e., the plaintiff, what's the word? The lawyer that is attacking us, becoming the defendant. Meaning, again, we're reminded of the Chet Egel, and that's going to be something that accuses us. So, Kosh Baruch Hu, when we're trying to be Meratza, we're trying to achieve atonement here, we don't want to bring the Chet Egel back into play. The Gemara says, well, oh, really not. Vahika dam par. But 1 second, don't you remember from Yuma? Right, we sprinkle the blood of the par, of the korban that's a par, of the cow, in the Kodesh Kodashim itself. The Gemara says, you're right, okay, but hol vishtani ishtani, but that's not a cow, that's just blood. So that's not that doesn't count. I have aika aron v'kapora, so chruv. But 1 second, but don't you have gold all over the Kodesh Kadashim? The whole aron and the kruvim and the kaporas on top is also gold. So it says chote ba yakruv coming in. No, we're saying that the sinner, right, the person who's not, meaning the man, should not bring in gold items which he has sinned with. But the fact that it's always there, the aron is always there, that's not a problem. But 1 second, the Kohen Gadol does bring in gold with him. He brings in the ladle, right, and the spoon, right, to bring in the ketores and the coals. The Gemara says, you're right, but we're concerned here. We're saying that someone who sins should not make himself beautiful. He should not make himself beautiful. Not really him, but he should not make the avoda beautiful with gold. But there, what is he doing? He's bringing in, right, a cup and a spoon, right? That's not a cup, but a ladle and a spoon. That's not adorning himself, right, in gold. I vayika big day zav mi bachutz. The Gemara says, well, okay, but the Kohen Gadol still wears the golden begadim on what's it called, on Yom Kippur, right outside. The Gemara says mi bachutz mi befrim mi karmina. So yeah, okay, he wears it outside, but not inside. The Gemara says, well, 1 second. We started this whole conversation because of shofar not mi bachutzi. Well, you also blow shofar outside the Kodesh Kodashim. So why are you telling me you can't use a cow's horn because it's in Kategor Nasa Senegar? We don't want. What are you talking about? That's also done outside. So Kohen says, no. Kevin to the Zikaron, who, famous line, Kilifnim dummy. That since the shofar is for Zikaron, it is as if it's inside the Kodesh Kodashim. When you're blowing the shofar, it's as if you're standing inside the Kodesh Kodashim. Unbelievable. Fascinating. I read a lot of Rosh Hashanah Torah around this line. And the shofar is a tefillah for us on Rosh Hashanah, and we're really mamish right inside the Kodesh Kodashim when we're singing, when we're listening to the sounds. Okay, fine. If I had a Pnishu Karen, but one second, didn't we learn in the Raisa that the reason that the Chachamim don't like a cow's horn is because it's a Karen? So Gemara says, you're right. Chada v'od Kamar. He's saying two reasons. One, and even more so. Chada, first of all, the Inkatein HaSaneger, that you don't want to use something that will remind you of a chait, right, inside the Kodesh Kodashim where you're trying to get atonement. V'od, and also, Mepneshu Karen, because it's called the Karen and not called the Shofar. I, Rabbi Yossi, what would he say to you? So I'm going to say to you, to Kamarta, Inkatein HaSaneger, Hanimin, Mimifnim. If I Shofar, Mimbachutsu, and he would just say, what are you talking about? When you're blowing the Shofar, you're inside the Kodesh Kodashim. That's very fancy. That's very Hasidish. Rabbi Yossi doesn't like that. What do you mean? You're still outside the Kodesh Kodashim, so it's not a big deal. Okay. Karen. And again, if you're telling me that the reason you don't blow it because it's a Karen, so also he would argue the same thing we said before. Kol shofar is namri ikru Karen. Okay. Another possibility for the Chacham and Shita is that you can only use a ram. Abaye, Amar Abaye says, this is the reason for the Rabbanan. Shofar Amar Rachmana, Veloshnaim Veshlosha Shofaros. It's one shofar you should use and not two or three. What is he talking about? The parak, apparently the cow's horn, kevan dekan gidli gidli mitchazi kishnayim shlosha shofaros. Apparently the way it grows, right, it kind of looks like two or three shofars stacked one on top of each other. So that's why it's no good. I've had time to finish you, Karen, but again, same back and forth. Didn't we say that the reason it's no good is because it's called a Karen? So Kamar, so Gemar says, again, chad v'od Kamar, really it's saying one and one more so. Chad the shofar, right, first of all, because shofar echad, because Amar Rachmana, because the Torah says you need one shofar. Veloshnayim shlosha shofaros, so not two or three. Ve'od, and another reason, v'nishu karen, because it's a horn. Rabbi Yossi, hamalacha, what would Rabbi Yossi say to that charge? De'kamarta shofar echad Amar Rachmana, the fact that you're arguing that you need one shofar, veloshnayim shlosha shofaros, and not two or three, what are you talking about? Kevin de mechari adati, it is still attached to each other, it's one horn, right, so therefore, chadu, it's going to be considered one horn. I do kamarta v'nishu karen. If you're saying that has to be a Karen and not a shofar, so again, same thing. Kol shofaros nami ikru Karen. So too, right? All, as we argued before, that according to Rabbi Yossi, that all of the shofars are also called a Karen. Okay. Now we had said before. Again, we quoted that pasuk at the beginning. B'mshoch Karen Hayova. Right. That was Rabbi Yossi trying to say that a shofar is called a Karen. So where do you get the idea that a Yovel? Right, that Yovel is a ram. So my mashma the hayuvel lishon de dichrahu. How do you know that a Yovel is the lashon for a ram? So the tiny mother of the Rabbi said, "Amar Rabbi Kiva, kishalachti al Arabia when he went to Arabia, so hayakorin le dichra Yovel." Sure enough, just got out. That's what people called it. Okay, that was the vernacular. From Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Gimel, now we're going to take a jump off this for a lot of the next daf and talk about different words that were confusing to the Chacham until they heard someone else talking about it. From Rabbi Kiva, Geshalachti the Galia, when I went to Galia, I according to Nida Galmuda, they would call a woman who's a Nida a Galmuda. My Galmuda, what is that? Gamula da Mibaila, she's separated from her husband. From Rabbi Kiva says, Geshalachti the Afriki, when I went to Africa, apparently he's a well traveled. Hayukoran lama kasita. They would call this coin, this small coin, a kasita. Lama nafkamina. Well, who cares? The frushe to explain the pasuk mea kasita del reisa, which is mea donkey. Meaning to explain the pasuk when Yaakov bought land from Shechem for mea kasita. How much was that? Right? How do you understand that? Apparently, it was 100 donkey. Amar not donkey, but donkey. As in donkey is a coinage. Amar Rabbi says kishalachti lekracheyam. When I went to the seas, to the islands. Kira. They would call a sail a kira. The might have kamina, who cares? The frushek is to explain the pasuk. Asher karisili. The when Yaakov tells, well, Yosef is talking to Paro, but he's talking about Yaakov, that Yaakov made him, he forced him to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. And one of the things he said that he bought Maris Machpela for himself. Asher Karisi Li means that Yaakov bought Maris Machpela for himself, and that's how you know, right? Again, Mechira, a sale, is called a Kira, and that's the Lashon of Karisi. Amar Rish Lagish, Amar Rishim Ben Lagish, Kishalachti L'Tchum Kan, when I went to Tchum Kan Neshaira, that's, I guess, the place, right, okay. Tchum is probably the edge, right? The edge of the country called Kan Neshaira. Okay, Hayikur and the Kala Ninfi. They were called a kala, a ninfi, meaning kala being a bride, and a tarnagol and a chicken, sechvi. That one we're familiar with, right? Kala, ninfi, maikra. How do you know that? Because yafeinof misos kol aretz, and that's also talking about a bride. The tarnagol, sechvi. How do you know that a tarnagol is sechvi? Amar Rabbi Yudah, Amar Rabbi Boy, Seimar Rabbi Shlag, Rabbi Shuv and Levi. Amar Kala. The pasuk says, Mishas betuchos chochma. That's the phrase we use every morning, right? Who, we're talking about Kosh Baruch Hu, who gave the chicken, the rooster, the sechvi, the understanding, to crow in the morning? Well, I guess the Gemara explains, right? Mishas betuchos chachma, elu klayos, right? Who gave chachma to the one, to the betuchos, that's to the one who are batuach, the one who are smooth. So that's the klayos, that's the kidneys. In Chazal, kidneys give a person wisdom. Right, that give a person understanding. Oh, minas on the sechvi bina, and who gave a chicken understanding? Zeh tarnagol, right? That is a chicken. Okay, Levi ikla luhu asra asa gavra lekamei. Levi went to some neighborhood, and someone came to him, and Amalei, he said to him, kavan palnia. He said, kavan palnia. That's somebody kavan. Somebody did kava to me. So a lot of the my comrades, he didn't know what he's talking about. So also shal the base medrash. So where else would you go to figure out what the person is saying? You go to the base medrash. So I'm like gazlan amar lecha. No, he said somebody stole stuff from you. Techtiv, because the pasuk says a kava adam elokim. So I'm like rabba, meaning command actually steal from God. No, that's obviously rhetorical. It's not true. I'm like rabba mi varnish the ravashi. I have a hasam have amina. Right, ravashi from varnish said ravashi. If I was there, I would just send to him, Hege kavacha, b'may kavacha, b'may kavacha. Right? How did he cover you? And what did he cover you? Why did he cover you? And then he would have understood, right, from the guy's answers, that cover meant theft. So why didn't he just do that? So the Gemara says, yeah, because the Ihu, meaning what was it? It was Ula? What was it? Who do we have? Levi, sorry. So why did Levi just do that? He was a smart guy on his own. Savar Milsa the Yisura Kamarle, because he thought he was talking about something about immorality. So those details he wasn't interested in. So he didn't want to actually hear that. So that's why he didn't ask him. Therefore, Lo Avi, Vaiter. Lo Avi Yodah Rabbanan Mai Sirugin. This is a Gemara Megillah. We'll start with Halacha Megillah, and then it continues to other topics. The Rabbanan did not know what the word Sirugin meant. The Mishnah says that if you read the Megillah Sirugin, so then you're a Yotze. So the Gemara didn't know what that meant. Shamula Amsa the Beir Rebbe, they heard a maid servant, I guess a maid in Rebbe's house. Her Rebbe was very, very wealthy, right, in addition to being in charge of Am Yisrael. So he was very wealthy. So he heard the maid servant in Rebbe's house. Techazanti the Rabbanan Habu Aile Piski Pisi. He saw the Chachamim coming to Rebbe's house, right, in groups, in packs. And Amalu, she said to them, Admasayatem Nechosim Sirugin Sirugin, why are you guys coming in groups? So then they understood that if you read the Megillah, let's say one parak, and you take a little break, and read another parak, and you take a little break, and read the third parak, but as long as it's contiguous, so then you are Yotze. Lo Havi Yodah Rabbanan Mai Chagloglos. They didn't know what that was. So Yom Echada, one day, Shamu La Amsa Debe Rebbe, sure enough, they heard this maidservant in Rebbe's house, Techazaz Lu Gavra Tekam Vadeh Parpechine. He was spreading out these herbs or some sort of spices. So my lady said to them, "I'm chaglogcha," and that's when I understood that they was talking about this type of spice. Lo havi yodah rabbanan mai salsala utrom lecha. Right, they didn't know what it meant. The salsala, and the Kosh Baruch Hu will lift you up. What is salsala? So the Gemara says, "Yom Echada Shemu La'amsa Debe Rebbe." Sure enough, they overheard this maidservant saying, "Dahave Amr Lahu Gavra." They would say she was saying to a person, "Dahave Kama Hapich Basara." This person was sitting there twirling their hair. Amr Lahu, she said to them, "Admasai Tamasalsa Basarecha." How long are you going to twirl your hair there? Right, that's Rashi's language by Yosef when he was getting comfortable and put to his house, right, he'd twirl his hair, making himself look nice. So that was also Salsalah and Kosh Baruch Hu will lift you up. So if you twirl it, meaning that's talking about learning Torah, so if you twirl it around in your mind for a long period of time, so then Kosh Baruch Hu will raise you up and give you understanding. Lo Havi Yodah Rabbanan Mai Vetati Isa B'Matata Hashmeid. That Kosh Baruch Hu will destroy us with Matata Tata Tata Tata. Yom Echad, one day, Shemuel La'amsa Debe Rebbe, Dava Amr Lechavrta, Shkuli Tatea Vetati Beise. One, and sure enough, they heard this maid in Rebbe's house saying, "Grab that broom and sweep the house." Then they understood that Kosh Baruch Hu will, Rachman Letzlan, right, sweep us away and destroy us, chas v'shalom. And finally, lo havi yodah rabbanan mai hashlecha l'shem yahavcha v'hu l'chalkalecha. Throw upon a Kosh Baruch Hu your yahav, which means your burden, and he will take care of you. Right, that pasuk, some people say in Shema Kolenu. So Amar Rabbi Baruch Hanna, Yom Achad Havazuna Bahadi Ahu Taya. Right, we're done with Rabbi's maidservant. Now Rabbi Baruch Hanna was traveling with a Taya. Taya is a merchant, and very often it's an Arab. Okay, either way, if Ahava Drane Tuna, he was carrying something. He said to me, Shkoli Havche Vishadi Agamalai, take your Yahav and put it on your camel, or put it on my camel rather, and that's how they knew that a Yahav, right, that is a burden. Okay, new Mishnah again, back to Shofar. Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah Shal Ya'el Pashut, according to the Tanakhama, you need to blow on your Rosh Hashanah. We take a shofar of a Ya'el, of a, I don't know how you translate a Ya'el. It's not really a deer, it's maybe an antelope. I don't know. I'm not sure. I forget the exact translation. Some sort of deer type, not an antelope really. It's sort of, I'm blanking on the exact translation. But either way, it has to be Pashut, it has to be straight. In fact, we'll see, obviously, our shofaros are not like that. We'll see a dissenting opinion in a second. Upir mitzuvah zav, and its mouth should be covered in gold. Ushtei chatzotzos min hatzdadim, and you have two chatzotzos, two trumpets on the sides. Shofar marev v'chatzotzos mekatzotz. And the shofar blows long, and the chatzotzos, right, blows short. Shemitzah sayom b'shofar, because the mitzvah of the day is with the shofar. With taniyos, but on the tainis, again, we're going to learn in Mesechus Tainis, right, it's not really talking about, for the most part, not really talking about the taniyos, the fast that we're familiar with, nor, more or less, it talks about the fast they would decree when there was no rain. So they got progressively worse. If there was no rain, there was more and more fasting and more halachos. So basically, they would blow shofar on these taniyos as well if it got too bad. So with taniyos, b'shal zecharim k'fuvim u'piyam b'tzufeh, on tainis, then in that scenario, you take male ram's horns that are bent, and their mouths are mitzupa kesef. They're not covered in gold; they're covered in silver. V'shtei chatzotzos b'emsa, and you have the two trumpets in the middle. The shofar mekatzer v'chatzotzos marichos. The shofar goes short, and here in this case on the taniyos, the chatzotzos blow long. Shemitzayim b'chatzotzos, because that's the mitzvah of the day. Shove yovel l'Rosh Hashanah l'tzkiya u'lebrachos. The yovel, when you blow a shofar on Yom Kippur, the same halachos apply to Rosh Hashanah, apply to Yovel. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Rosh Hashanah tokim b'shal zecharim uviyovelos b'shal ya'elim. Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite, that on Rosh Hashanah we use a zachar, meaning a male ram that's curved, and on Yovel, then you use the ya'el, the horn of the ya'el, which is straight. Rabbi Levi says, mitzvah shal Rosh Hashanah b'shal yom kippurim b'kfufin. Rabbi Levi says that, yeah, the mitzvah, as we know, the mitzvah on Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah is to blow a shofar that is bent. And the rest of the year you would blow with a straight horn. Right, the first line in our Mishnah, right, that there has to be straight from a Ya'el. So no, who? The Amar Ki Aitana, no, as you might imagine, Rabbi Levi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya is learning Rabbi. I said Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rosh Hashanah, he took him b'chal zecharim kfufim. On Rosh Hashanah we blow with a bent horn, over Yovel, the special Ye'elim, and on Yovel, we use the straight one. Rabbi Yehuda, why don't we just say that Rabbi Levi holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Because it's not true. If we just said that Rabbi Levi holds like Rabbi Yehuda, he would have thought that he would have assumed that he holds like him by Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. It's Kosh Malan, so therefore, that comes to teach us that no, Rabbi Levi holds that we always blow the shofar. On whether it's Rosh Hashanah, not always, but whether it's Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur of Yovel, we blow a curved shofar, and then through the rest of the year, then we blow the straight one. But my kumifkli, what's the machokas? So simply, Mar Sover Rosh Hashanah, what's better, what's a person's attitude on Rosh Hashanah versus Yom Kippur? Is it better to be bent over and more not subjugated, but in servitude, or kind of subservient is the word I'm looking for. Is it better to be more subservient or more with a straight back and more confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find in your favor? So that's the machlokas. And Mar Sover, one of them holds that Rosh Hashanah nami kama dekayef inish daitei tvei mali. On Rosh Hashanah, it's better to be kayef, better to be bent over. That's Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Levi. Yom Kippurim kama depashit inish daitei tvei mali. And on Yom Kippur, it's better to stand straight. Umar Sover, and the other one holds, right, Rabbi Tanakama holds the opposite. Rosh Hashanah, which is about Malchus and standing up and accepting Kadosh Baruch Hu as our king, is better to be stand straight. Uvetanios, and on the fasts, So kama dekayif inish daite tzvei male, right, is the more, right, you bend yourself over and subjugate yourself to Kosh Baruch Hu, and so that would be better for the tefillos. Okay, shkoda kol d'rabosu, we go vayder in the Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.